This is the Only Human podcast from Community Radio 4ZZZ out of Brisbane, Australia.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Linda Steele. This is Only Human on 4ZZZ and Z Digital. Linda, for those of us, our listeners who missed your last interview with us last year, could you just explain a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for having me on your program again. I'm really looking forward to the discussion today. So I'm a law academic, so I do research around disability rights and the law, and I also teach law students about litigation and also about disability rights and mental health law as well. And a part of my job recently has been to do some research and advocacy related to the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability, including around the topic of restrictive practices.
And I thought I should, before I forget, my name is Belle and I am the producer of Only Human. And today, the purpose of our discussion is to sort of delve into restrictive practices in a mental health setting. And one of the reasons for doing this is our lived experience, Brody and myself. So I am a person with bipolar, and I also have experienced psychosis. And over many, many years, I've had about 10 hospitalizations, and so I'm very familiar with the public mental health system. Would you mind telling a little bit about yourself, Brody, as well?
I'm Brody. I have had, same as Belle, lots of experience within the public mental health system. And I'm a person who suffers from very, as I've been told time and time again, complex mental health conditions. And with my, I've suffered from like eating disorders and things like that, where I have been like restrictive practice and things like that. So yeah.
Thanks, Brody. Before we sort of get right into the Disability Royal Commission and how that kind of relates to our lived experience, what have been recent developments in mental health law?
Recent developments in mental health law in general?
Yeah, I imagine they vary across state to state, but what kind of stands out to you as some progress that has been made in that field?
Yeah, so I guess if we take a long view of mental health law, probably the major developments that we've seen in more recent decades has been greater legal oversight of when people can be subject to forced detention and treatment in mental health facilities. So kind of balancing the discretion and power that's given to medical professionals with some kind of judge or tribunal oversight of what happens to people without their consent. So I guess there the focus has been on assuming that people's experiences and treatment and rights are going to be better recognised if we have more oversight by legal process. But since the entering into force and Australia's ratification of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, so that's an international human rights treaty that identifies specific rights for people with disability, there has been greater focus on the fact that it doesn't matter whether you've got a judge or a doctor or anyone else making decisions or having oversight of what happens to people without their consent. There's a fundamental problem where people of a particular category, based on disability or diagnosis or assumptions about their behaviour, are able to be subject to non-consensual interventions that the rest of the population can't. So the Disability Convention has really highlighted what MAD activists and anti-psychiatry activists and people, many people with lived experience, have been arguing for decades, which is that mental health law is discriminatory because it doesn't apply to everyone. It allows people on the basis of certain symptoms or assumptions or labels to be subject to interventions in their bodies and lives that other people cannot. And additionally, that those interventions, while they're often framed as therapeutic or benign or in someone's best interests, are actually harmful and have lifelong effects. So a kind of more recent development, maybe not so much in actual reform of the law, but in the kind of public discussion and the law reform discussion and debates around mental health law in Australia, has been to consider the impact of human rights on mental health law. And so there we've seen a bit, little bit more recognition in the text of the law about people having rights or about the UN Disability Convention, but we haven't seen a fundamental shift away from forced treatment and detention in the mental health facilities or in the community as well, under community treatment orders. Yeah, so that's probably we're probably seeing more of a shift in terms of public discussion and greater space being given to the very long-standing activist claims and resistance and so on, and demands by people with lived experience and their allies to recognize the discrimination and harm and violence that is often associated with mental health law.